بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله حمده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل بني آدم خطاؤون وخير الخطائين التوابون أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Respected علماء الكرام The youth that are seated here, our soldiers of Islam, and other respected brothers and guests. As Maulana Shoaib Sahab pointed out, the reality of the problem of substance abuse, drugs, intoxicants, this is something that Brother Rafiq, who is a specialist in the field from the Mahalisbagh Rehab Center, will be highlighting in front of you. Because he is working in the field from the grassroots level, he will be able to enlighten you as far as the problem is concerned, the nature and extent of the problem, and how we can deal with the problem in our homes, in our communities. I have been assigned the task to just put a few spiritual aspects forward, that what are the spiritual harms of indulging in these types of activities, and what is the solution for this given to us in the Quran and the Hadith. There is an Urdu couplet which goes that Asman ki zinat hai sitaro se, Asman ki zinat hai sitaro se, Zameen ki zinat hai parhezgaro se. That the beauty, the adornment, the splendor, the radiance of the sky is achieved by virtue of the celestial bodies such as the sun, moon, the stars, and the planets. These are the pearls and the gems of the sky. But on the other hand, the poet says, the beauty and the adornment of the earth is attained by virtue of the presence of the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the ones that lend exuberance, vibrance, nur, light, radiance on the face of this earth. They are the true gems and the precious stones of this earth. As I walked into the masjid tonight, alhamdulillah, my gaze fell on the youth, many youngsters seated here, and it is so inspiring to notice the masjid full with musallis, because in reality, just as the pious servants of Allah are the gems and the pearls of the earth, the musallis are the ornaments and the gems of the masjid. We can have the most beautiful of masjids. The notion, the perception that we have of beauty and adornment for the masjid is to see lovely light fittings, chandeliers, intricate carvings, frames on the walls. If you have all of this, but if the masjid is not abad, it is totally bereft of musallis, then there is no beauty in that masjid. There are no true ornaments in that masjid. In the time of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the masjid al-Nabawi was what we can term today a simple hut, a simple shack. Mud was used on the walls. The barks of trees were used as pillars. Leaves and branches were used as the roof of the masjid. But in spite of that, 24 hours, day in, night out, sounds of Qala Allah and Qala Rasul used to emanate from the masjid. Religious, dini activities taking part in the masjid. This was the true beauty of the masjid. That in spite of the masjid being a simple structure, yet there was radiance, illumination emanating from Masjid al-Nabawi because of it being filled with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, those illustrious personalities that sat at the feet of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and that became obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the beauty of this earth. The gems, the precious stones are the obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who shun the ways of the kuffar. Those who shun the shaitan and the carnal desires that the nafs provokes one to indulge in. Those are the true gems of the earth. Which is why we learn from the ahadith that when these pious servants, those who toe the line of Sharia, those who avoid disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who attain proximity to Allah, when these people leave the earth, when the time comes for their death, for their demise, then even the sky weeps over their parting. Even the earth weeps and cries. In one hadith, Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَا مِن مُؤْمِنٍ إِلَّا وَلَهُ بَابَانِ فِي السَّمَاءِ بَابٌ يَسْعَدُ مِنْهُ عَمَلُهُ وَبَابٌ يَنْزِلُ مِنْهُ رِزْقُهُ فَإِذَا مَاتَ بَكَيَا عَلَيْهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاتُ السَّلَامُ. That a mu'min, a believer, a true believer who adheres to the code of Sharia, Allah Ta'ala has assigned, reserved for him, two doors in the heavens. One door is that door from which his good actions are carried by the malaika and presented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other door is that door from which his provision, his sustenance descends, sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this mu'min passes away, the hadith says that both these doors begin to weep. They miss this person that his amal used to come through us, his rosy through used to come through us, and this has now terminated. And they weep over the parting of this person. Similarly, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says in one narration that the piece of ground upon which a mu'min used to make his ruku, his qiyam, his sajda, the piece of ground on which he is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when this mu'min dies, that piece of ground weeps over him. In one riwayat it is mentioned, although the narration, the chain of narrators is not very authentic, but because it is a warning sign, and because it has to do with fadail, with virtues. One riwayat, Ibn Abbas relates that when a true obedient person passes away, the earth cries for a total of 40 days over his parting. Because the gem, that precious stone, has departed. On the other hand, when a sinful person, whether it be a kafir or a sinful Muslim, a person whose soul is wretched, when he leaves the earth, neither do the skies nor the earth cry over that person. The Quran tells us in Surah Al-Dukhan, when Fir'aun and his army were destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the Quran mentions that فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهُمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنْظَرِينَ, that neither did the sky nor the earth weep over their parting, and they were granted no respite whatsoever from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the soul of a pious person is taken out, extracted by the malaika of rahmah, and it is taken above to be deposited in the ala illiyin, in the elevated stages above the heavens, when they enter the various doors of the heavens of the skies, the malaika that are on guard at those doors, they welcome this nafs, and they say, marhaban bin nafsi tayyiba kanat fil jasadi tayyib, that welcome to such a pure soul that resided in a body that was pure. On the other hand, the hadith tells us, when a wretched soul is taken, then the malaika say that la marhaban bin nafsil khabitha kanat fil nafsa kanat fil jasadil khabith, that such a soul is unwelcome here, that resided in a wretched body, and that soul is thrown out, no entry for it in the elevated stages. It is reduced to the asfal safilin, the lowest of the low. So alhamdulillah, I'm sure there is no one seated here that would not like to be a gem of the earth, that would not like to be a pearl of the earth. But in order to become these gems, these valuable pearls, we have to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that were sent for our guidance, for our benefit. But unfortunately, today we shun what was taught to us by Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because of peer pressure, because of other circumstances, we feel it is an in thing, it is a macho thing to be with the in crowd in order to shun what Allah and His Rasul has taught us and to veer towards that which Western society is pulling us towards. We feel that is an in thing to do. Whereas as youth, we are wrecking our youth. We are destroying our formative years. We are destroying those years of our lives when we can truly gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is an incident, Hazrat Bahlul rahmatullah alayhi mentions about a little child that was not even baligh, had not even attained puberty. Bahlul rahmatullah alayhi was a great saint of his time. He says, I was walking along the road during one of my travels, and I saw some little children that were busy playing with walnuts and almonds that were still in their shells. In every age, there is a different sport to play. In our time when we were little, we used to play other sports. Today, we don't see those sports. Sports such as kenichi that we used to play, gilli danda, we don't see the children playing this outside. Even marble tops are becoming extinct. Today, the order of the day are entirely different type of activities within the confines of the home, whether it is sitting in front of the shaitan box, whether it is indulging in other frivolous activities. But nevertheless, in those days, the children used to throw these walnuts and almonds within their shells to each other, catching them, throwing at each other, whatever the case may be. So Hazrat Bahlul rahmatullah noticed there was one youngster that was standing on one side of the road, not participating in the sport that the other children were playing. So he thought to himself that this is perhaps a child from a poor household. He cannot afford to buy these walnuts and almonds to play with. So he went up to that child and said to him that, oh my child, should I not take you to the bazaar and buy some walnuts and almonds for you to play with? So look at his reply. A child of a young and tender age, perhaps 8 or 9 years old, he recites the verse of the Holy Quran telling Bahlul rahmatullah alayhi, that which world are you living in, O Bahlul? Have we been created for play and for sport in this world? We have been created for the ibadat, for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bahlul asked him that where did you learn this from? He said from the Quran. Allah ta'ala says, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ حَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ, that do you feel that we have created you for a worthless purpose, for no purpose whatsoever? And do you feel that you will never return to us? You have to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for accountability, for retribution. Hazrat Bahlul rahmatullah was taken aback with the reply of this child. And then the child recited a few couplets, the crux of which was, there is no time to relate the entire couplets, but the gist of his was that, oh Allah, it is within you whom I place my trust. You are my true friend. It is to you unto whom I shall return. This world is not a permanent abode for me. When he recited these couplets, tears were streaming around down his cheeks, and he fell down unconscious onto the ground. Hazrat Bahlul rahmatullah says, after a little while, when he regained consciousness, I went up to the child and I said to him that, oh child, you are so little, you are not even accountable for your sins, you have not attained puberty, why are you so fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he replied that when I look at my mother lighting the fire in the kitchen to cook the food, in order to stoke and fuel the fire, she first puts in the little twigs into the fire and then the bigger wood and the logs. So I fear that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah perhaps throws we little children first into the fire before the adults are thrown in. Look at the fear of this child. We can well imagine what this child grew up to be. And this child was from none other than the progeny of Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, the beloved grandson of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A certain buzrug, whenever his mind used to wander, shaitan is very, very shrewd. He works overtime behind the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This buzrug says, a pious saint, that thoughts of sin used to cross my mind as well. But whenever any thought of zina, adultery, fornication, any thought of drinking liquor, any thought of committing whatever sin there may be, I used to immediately light a candle and put my finger into the flame of that candle and pull it away immediately, saying, ouch, I cannot bear this. And then he would remind himself that the ahadith of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell us that the fire of Jahannam will be 70 times fiercer and hotter than the fire of this world. When I cannot tolerate putting a single finger into the flame of the candle, how will I tolerate the fire of Jahannam? It is this type of fear that keeps away a person away from sin, and this buzrug used to abstain from sin. We have to understand that the Quran tells us, فَأَمَّا مَنْ تَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. That as for that person who is rebellious, he rebels against the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he gives preference to the life of this world over the life of the year after, Allah ta'ala says, for him his abode will be Jahannam. And as for that person who fears standing before his cherisher, he fears accountability, retribution, and he restrains his carnal self from carrying out his desires, for him the abode will be Jannat. Allah has given us the faculties, the intellect, to differentiate between right and wrong, between good and evil, between truth and falsehood. When we came into the world, we came ignorant. But Allah Ta'ala gave these faculties of knowledge to us. The Quran says, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. That we took you out from the wombs of your mothers when you were totally ignorant, you knew nothing whatsoever. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. And then Allah Ta'ala gave you ears, He gave you eyes, He gave you hearts, that you see the truth with those eyes, you listen to the truth with those ears, and you understand the truth with your hearts. This is the reason for us being given these faculties. In spite of that, with the human intellect that we possess, if we cannot differentiate between good and evil, truth and falsehood, right and wrong, then we are like animals. The Quran has said this, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. That such people who do not utilize these faculties fruitfully, they have hearts, but they do not utilize their hearts to understand the truth. They have eyes, they do not utilize the eyes to see the truth. They have ears, they do not utilize those ears to listen to the truth. Allah Ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. They are like the animals, in fact worse than animals. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. They are totally neglectful. Look at the harms of substance abuse. There is no time to go into much detail, but a few examples. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayh, a famous muhaddith scholar of hadith, he once mentioned that وَفِي السِّوَاكِ أَكْثَرُ مِنْ سَبْعِينَ مَنْفَاتًا أَدْنَاهَا تَذَكُّرُ الشَّهَادَةِ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ وَفِي الْأَفْيُونِ أَكْثَرُ مِنْ سَبْعِينَ مَضَرَّةً أَدْنَاهَا نِسْيَانُ الشَّهَادَةِ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ. He says that the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of utilizing the miswak to brush the teeth, to cleanse the mouth, he says there are more than 70 benefits contained in the miswak, in the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says the least benefit, which to us is a great benefit, so you can well imagine what the greater benefits would be. He says the least benefit of using miswak is that a person will remember to recite the kalima at the time of his death. On the other hand, he says, وَفِي الْأَفْيُونَ, as far as opium is concerned, As far as drugs are concerned, he says there are more than 70 harms, and the least of those harms that a person will forget to recite the kalima at the time of his death. Every mu'min wants to go from the world with the kalima, because the hadith of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us, man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhal al jannah, that the person who leaves the world with the kalima la ilaha illallah on his lips, he will go into jannah inshallah. One hadith tells us, man shariba al khamr la yaqbal Allah ta'ala lahu salat 40 sabahan fa in taba Allah alayhi, aw kama qala li salatu salam, that the person who consumes liquor, and together with that, we can include all other intoxicants, whether it be the drugs, whatever the case may be. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the person who consumes liquor, his salah of 40 days are not accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, he gets no reward for those salahs. If he's not rewarded for those namazes, his du'as made after the salah will also be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It takes about 40 years for that intoxicant, 40 days, for that intoxicant to work itself out of the system. So Nabi Karim Sallam says, for 40 days his namazes are not accepted. But at the same time, dear brothers, we should not lose hope. We all commit sin. It is only the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that were free of sin. Allah Ta'ala kept them pure of sin. Otherwise, the hadith tells us, kullu bani adam khatta'un, وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَابُونَ, that all of humankind are sinners, but the best of sinners are those who repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this hadith also tells us that even though a person had consumed liquor, فَإِن تَابَ اللَّهُ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, that when he makes tawbah, Allah accepts that tawbah from him. So there is light at the end of the tunnel. The Quran tells us, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, that oh you who have oppressed your souls, do not become despondent of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ, Allah ta'ala forgives all sin. Allah is oft forgiving, merciful. I will terminate with just one incident, just to inspire all of us that we all commit sin. That's why the ulama tell us, they do not point fingers. If you point a finger at the fault of an opposite party, remember that you are pointing three fingers towards yourself. The formation of the hand, when you point at someone, one finger towards that person, three fingers towards yourself, to remind you that he may have one fault, I perhaps have within me three times as many faults. That although it is my duty to direct him, to guide him, but I must also look after my faults. How can I reform myself too? That is very, very important as well. So this is the incident of Hazrat Bishr Hafi Rahmatullahi. Hafi means a person who walks barefooted. This title he gained afterwards. His original name was just Bishr, without the addition of the word Hafi. This Bishr, in his youth, he was a total drunkard, always found in a drunken stupor. If people were to look for him, they would be directed out of the town beneath some trees, that he would be lying there in a drunken stupor. Such was the extent of the consumption of liquor that he was indulging in. On one occasion, even in the drunken stupor, as he walked along the road, not even totally sober, but when Allah Ta'ala wishes to guide someone, Allah Ta'ala guides in amazing ways. As he walked along the road, he found a piece of paper on the ground. He picked it up and he saw written on the piece of paper, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So he thought to himself, being a Muslim, that this is the name of my beloved creator, my beloved nourisher, cherisher. How can it be trampled underfoot? He picked the paper up, dusted the dirt and grime off. He took it home, applied some perfume to it, and put it on the uppermost shelf in his house out of respect of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala liked this seemingly trivial action to such an extent that Allah ta'ala revealed by means of kashf, by means of divine unseen ways, to a saint of that time, that you go to a certain town, Look for a person by the name of Bishr and give him the glad tidings that Allah has forgiven all his past. So this saint, the Buzruq, goes to their town. He goes to the shopkeepers inquiring, who is this person, Bishr? They are also taken aback that a saint, a Buzruq, what would he want to do with a drunkard, with a drunk addict, like we would term in this day and age? We should not shun them. They may be indulging in evil, the action is evil, but that man is after all a mu'min, a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You shun the action, you don't shun the person. You try and help the person. So the shopkeepers directed him that if you go to the outskirts of the town, you will find this man beneath a certain tree. He goes there and he finds this man lying there in a totally intoxicated state. He sits there for a little while. He shakes him up. And then he says to him that, are you Bishr? He says, yes, my name is Bishr. What work do you have with me? So he says, Allah has sent a message for you. When he hears it, he sits up. And he says, what could Allah Ta'ala convey to me? A no good like me, a drunkard like me. So he says that Allah Ta'ala has sent the message that Allah Ta'ala has forgiven all your sins. But the saint also wanted to inquire, investigate, that what was the reason for this? And he asks Bishr. Bishr says, I cannot recall any good deed that I ever carried out in my entire life. He tells him, think carefully. And then he thinks that yesterday I was walking along the road. This piece of paper I picked up with the name of Allah on it. I put it away respectfully. So the saint says, yes, because you showed love for the name of Allah, Allah has forgiven your sins. When he hears this, he stands up and he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, I neglected your commands. I had forgotten you totally. I had forgotten the purpose of my creation. Yet, O Allah, you haven't forgotten me. You are prepared to forgive me. From today, I take a vow that I will change my entire life. And he turns a new leaf. He becomes a saint, a Buzruq of that time. And such a Buzruq that one day he's walking along the road. This is the reason why he got the title Hafi. He walks along the street and the ayat of the Quran crosses his mind. وَالْأَرْضَ فَرَشْنَاهَا فَنِعْمَ الْمَاهِدُونَ Allah Ta'ala says, we have laid out the earth like a carpet. So when this ayat crossed his mind, he thought to himself that if the earth is a carpet, we do not walk on carpets in the masjid with our shoes. How could I tread on the carpet of Allah with my shoes? So he makes a firm resolution. For the rest of his life, he never walked on the face of the earth with shoes on. In return, Allah gave him the glad tidings that, O Bishr, because of this, obviously, there is a great possibility you tread upon impurity, najasat, and you have to go to the masjid, you cannot go with impure feet. So I command all the animals and the birds never to lay any excreta or never to urinate on that piece of ground that you will tread upon. So in this way, Allah Ta'ala kept his feet also apart. So nevertheless, there is time. Qari Sahib read the ayat, Tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha, that repent towards Allah Ta'ala, sincere tawbah. Sincere tawbah means first and foremost, to immediately leave the sin that you are indulging in. Secondly, to make a pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never to go near that sin again. And thirdly, to make a pledge to Allah Ta'ala, that, oh Allah, if I ever happen to get caught up in the sin, I will immediately make tawbah again. If this is done with sincere admonition in the heart, sincere shamefulness, turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repenting to Allah ta'ala, a person that spent his entire life in sin can become a saint overnight. Allah give us all the tawfiq of repenting for our sins, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the past can be wiped out, and we look to a bright future, inshallah, when we get in proximity, closeness to our Creator, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can enjoy a life of eternal bliss in the akhirat. Allah ta'ala accept us all for that. Keep us with iman, take us with iman, and raise us with iman, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.